eyes, O Lord, save me, my God, deliver.
Welcome to The Firmly Planted Tree, a podcast dedicated to the reading of the Psalms for strength in our daily walk and to delight in the law of the Lord. I'm Joey Hawkins, and like the tree planted by the waters, may God's word establish you in righteousness.
The Lord alone deliverance sends, no other source of help have we.
Psalm 21. To the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, in your strength the king rejoices, and in your salvation how greatly he exults. You have given him his heart's desire, and have not withheld the request of his lips. For you meet him with rich blessings, you set a crown of fine gold upon his head. He asked life of you, you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. His glory is great through your salvation, splendor and majesty you bestow on him. For you make him most blessed forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High he shall not be moved. Your hand will find out all your enemies. Your right hand will find out those who hate you. You will make them as a blazing oven when you appear. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and fire will consume them. You will destroy their descendants from the earth, and their offspring from among the children of man. Though they plan evil against you, though they devise mischief, they will not succeed, for you will put them to flight. You will aim at their faces with your bows. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. As Spurgeon says, it is evidently the fit companion of Psalm 20, speaking of Psalm 21, and in its proper position next to it. Psalm 20 anticipates what this regards as realized. And certainly when we read Psalm 20 last week, talking about the king riding out to victory and in defense of the nation and his people, we see the shadows of Christ, we see the messianic themes. And in Psalm 21, it's hard not to read this psalm without the realization that this is ultimately fulfilled in the kingship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we'll have to do that certainly as we read this together, but we recognize again that this is a psalm of David, that these themes to the kingship of David, to the length of days, and ultimately to the kingdom that lasts forever and ever, that is fulfilled in the Messiah, these were promises that David experienced. These were strength that he experienced in his obedience to God. We begin first by looking through verses 1 through 7. Where it is simply the king and God speaking one to another, the king addressing God. And obviously when we look at this, we see Jesus as ultimately the fulfillment of the king. As Spurgeon said, he is not merely a king, but the king, king over minds and hearts, reigning with a dominion of love, before which all other rule is but brute force. And so certainly in any ways that we exercise dominion in Christ's name will be but a mere shadow of what has been purchased through Jesus Christ and through his life, his death on the cross, and his resurrection and ascension and reign. Notice in verse 3, though, you see this, for you meet him with rich blessings, that the king and David and his experience with God is not one that is negative, but that God gives him blessings and sets a crown of fine gold upon his head. The value of the crown itself is not the value of the gold, but rather that God is the one giving it to him. Remember, God gives and God takes away. Ezekiel 21, verses 25 through 27, when Ezekiel is prophesying over the wicked kings of Israel, says in this, And you, O profane wicked one, prince of Israel, whose day has come the time of your final punishment, thus says the Lord God, remove the turban and take off the crown. Things shall not remain as they are. Exalt that which is low and bring low that which is exalted. A ruin, ruin, ruin I will make it. This also shall not be until he comes, the one to whom judgment belongs, and I will give it to him. Again, the Messiah is being spoken of by Ezekiel, that he is the one who would exalt that which is low and bring low that which is exalted. And that ruin will be made and destruction will be because of the judgment and wrath that he brings. But again, it is the one It is God himself as the one who places the crown and sees to its removal. Verse 5, then notice that his glory is great through your salvation. Splendor and majesty you bestow on him. Again, we praise Christ for him in bringing salvation to us. And ultimately, this is again fully realized in Jesus Christ, that because of that, the splendor and majesty that is due to him is above all. But great for us then is the gift of salvation, and great for us is the splendor and majesty that we experience as his sons and as his daughters. If you go down then to verse 8 through 12, you will see a little bit of a shift in the voice where it speaks from the king directly to God and to the action that he will take. As Derek Kidner says, with a word that is certainly not popular in today's day and age, it has the crusading spirit dedicated to hunting out every enemy, not allowing him the initiative, as we see find out in verse 8, and to ridding the world of his kind. And again, it's your hand will find out all your enemies. Your right hand will find out those who hate you. You will make them as a blazing oven, that you will swallow them up in the wrath. You will destroy the descendants from the earth. But notice verse 11, what it says. It talks this, though they plan evil against you, though they devise mischief, they will not succeed. I love that that idea that, again, even though there may be plans and plots against you, that they will not succeed if they are not within the will of God and if they are not something that he will allow. And ultimately, in the plan of salvation, Christ was ensured victory over even death itself, even over the thing that would appear to be final. But I like what Spurgeon says when he encourages us to take cheer from this verse as well. And when he says, when we read the boastful threatenings of the gospel at the present day, we may close our reading by cheerfully repeating, which they are not able to perform. Or as the ESV translate, though they devise mischief, they will not succeed. Those enemies of the gospel today, they will not succeed. I'm especially drawn to our brothers and sisters in Christ in Afghanistan. Though the Taliban may plot evil, though they may devise mischief, they will not succeed. Because in us, the promise of salvation, of splendor and honor forever are sure. And so their schemes will fail. And we cheerfully repeat, which they are not able to perform. Ultimately, it ends in verse 13. When a voice comes from the side, then, be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. Yes, we will praise God in his power. So often, again, we understand that God comes to us as the prophet Elijah experienced, the still and small voice, that is where God was. But God is the source of all power, as he is the source of all life, all love, all goodness, all righteousness. And so we must praise God for the strength that he gives. And so the king's strength that is addressed here is the strength we see in King Jesus and is the strength that we are called to function in as men and as leaders today. That is the true king's strength. Thank you so much for joining us again this week and for listening. And I pray that you have a blessed week. May you prosper like the tree planted by streams of water. Thank you for listening. Find us online under the Firmly Planted Tree, where we can further continue our discussion. And please consider sharing this podcast and leaving a review. And may the word of Christ dwell in you richly. A joyful noise to make. Oh, come with thanks, his presence too. With joyful song.